You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is time to welcome back Mental Health Mondays. We are going to take a look at some really helpful topics and a great resource available to you anywhere you live in the United States. So a great resource available from our friends at Lutheran Family Service. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Dr. Mark Vandenbroek. He's the Director of Grief, Loss, and Trauma with Lutheran Family Service. Dr. Mark, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
So tell us about your work as Director of Grief, Loss, and Trauma with Lutheran Family Service.
This is a grief ministry, as I look at it. It's a great way to walk with pastors, the congregations, and members of the community in all aspects of grief, loss, and trauma. And working with pastors, kind of processing grief, of working with the congregations to keep them as healthy as we can. I've known I've been doing this work for about 40 years now. And I also know that sometimes faith can get struggled as grief comes into play. We get angry at God and why would God do this? And all these kind of questions that come into play. And so it's just like walking with those people to help, you know, God didn't go away from us. We're the ones that went away from him, and trying to get them back kind of in touch with their pastor and the church. But also, if you think about it, helping pastors, you're taught how to do the rituals. And, you know, seminaries teach you have the memorial service, you have the visitations, those types of things. And then oftentimes, and not always, but there's struggles of what do we do with the members that have lost somebody? How do we help them journey that? And how can the church help that way? So that's what I get the privilege to do and to journey with people, walk alongside. I try to view things not as therapizing, because that's just kind of a misnomer in my world, because grief is a very normal reaction to any type of loss, from a death to a divorce to a loss of a pet. I mean, you can have so many different layers of losses in life. So that's what I get the privilege and honor to do.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got interested in doing this type of work? Not everyone wants to deal with thinking about grief and loss all the time, but this is something that you obviously care very much about and being able to care for people when they're experiencing this. So what got you interested in being in this area?
Oh my, that's an open question. God certainly directed this, not me. When I was in undergrad, I became a music therapist, a board certified music therapist. But looking back in my life, even when I was little, the impact of losses of grandparents, the loss of a pet, and how that all intertwined in life. And as I grew up, I knew it was such an impactful thing, but I got to thinking, you know, people really kind of screw it up. You know, there's just people have some maladaptive ways to process and understand grief. And we tend to grieve like our parents and grandparents grieve. And oftentimes it's probably not the best. And I found that some misdirected grief, a lot of anger comes out in it. A lot of family dysfunction comes out as a result of grief. Alcohol, drugs, you name it. There's so many different layers of things that I have experienced in working with people that takes grief to a whole different level. And that those losses are pretty powerful. But what I try to challenge people is how to process and do things differently.
So looking at your introduction, looking at your title, there are a lot of letters after your name. How has your education, tell us a little bit about your education, how that helps you serve those who are experiencing grief and loss?
Well, I've been very, very fortunate. I've been part of Association for Death Education and Counseling, ADEC for short, for probably 30 some years. And this association encompasses all types of losses, from ambiguous losses to deaths to tragedies such as tornadoes, those types of things. So that the fellow in Thanatology, and we talked a little bit about that, but it's Thanatology and is the study, science, and research of death, and how it impacts our society, our individual, our family aspect. So yeah, it's kind of a unique field. I do encourage your listeners to, I mean, if there's any questions with like Association for Death, look it up. It is a very fine resource. There's some tools that might be available to them to look at and to read, and maybe some webinars that way as well.
So we talk about grief, and that word comes up a lot. Can we define what grief actually is? There a definition for grief, a term that is something that I see you laughing, that we can all understand? Or is it more of a term that kind of morphs depending on the situation? How do we actually understand grief?
Well, in my research, I've tried to take it a different way. There are many different, and it's a great question, Sarah. There are many, many different definitions of grief. But I was fortunate enough to develop a model of grief processing called the Barafian model of grief processing. And the word Barafian is an old English word. Back in the year 310, it was developed. And it means to rob, to be taken away from. And as time advanced, the word actually became bereavement. And I have found, at least in my life, in the model that I developed, that's how we feel. We feel something has been taken from us. And for me, best thing we can do is help people, and for me, is to relocate that loss from our headspace, the 12 inches down to our heart. Because when we carry them in our heart, we can process things differently. When we keep it up in the head, that's where everything gets kind of messed up. Our brain functioning gets all convoluted. We can kind of get distorted. That anger, all those sort of things come into play. So that, to answer your question, Sarah, yes, there is one clear definition of grief, and that's that we feel robbed. And we want that loved one back. We want that house back. We want that pet back. It's an innate part of us, who we are as individuals. And the understanding that, well, we can't get them back, but we can have a different connection.
I love etymology.
Yes, agreed.
Learning what words, where words come from and what they mean. Wow.
Yes.
When might we experience grief? When does grief happen?
I think that is a very individual journey, to be honest with you. I mean, people, I think no one's excluded from it. You know, that's because sin happened. We know that death happened, but, you know, we know that God saved us from death. You know, there's that perspective that we look at, that death died a long time ago. But in our humanity, that's when we experience the death of a parent, or those different layers of losses that I talked initially about. Well, you can have a loss of a friendship. Would that be considered a loss? For many people, yeah. Or a breakup in a relationship. How many loves have been lost? First relationships. Anything like that, those are different layers of losses. Are they as complex as a death of a child? Probably not, but still can be impactful. And if a child loses, or even an adult loses a pet, for example, that's a pretty powerful loss. And we try to understand what happened to that. How do we explain this? You know, how can we look at God's gift and grace to say, how do we journey this? How do we teach people to look at grief and loss differently? And that's always been my passion.
How do we understand the difference between grief and loss? And you're talking about different layers, and I love that this isn't just a singular thing. There's layers and there's complexity to this. And I think that's really helpful for people to understand that not everything is the same, and that's okay. And that might actually be a good thing to help us navigate what all of these different situations mean. How do we understand that difference between a grief and a loss?
I think maybe it's to answer that question is to ask the question, has this loss impacted you? Maybe we can simplify things, Sarah, to that degree of saying, has this loss kind of changed my perspective? And I have found there are literally thousands of ways people grieve. And there are hundreds and maybe even thousands of books about grief and what we should do and all these kind of things. And I try to honestly keep things as simple as possible because I'm simple. You know, I want to keep it that we can understand it. I know that most people are familiar with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And Kubler-Ross, back in the 60s, wrote a book called On Death and Dying. It became like the holy grail of grief work. Up until that point, there was really no literature on grief, except for Sigmund Freud did back in the early 20s. Did a journal article on grief, but she developed the five stages of grief. And I think most people are familiar with that, the anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And that, as I said, became the holy grail of grief work. So pastors, physicians, sociologists, you name it, teachers, nurses, if you experienced a loss, if you go through these four or five stages, then you're going to be done, right? Well, that's the problem, because you actually vacillate between all those emotions and all those feelings. And Kubler-Ross later on wrote, people misconstrued what I said. You do experience those five emotions, but you go back and forth for an indefinite period of time. And the word acceptance is really a hard phrase for some people to understand. If there was a murder or if there was other things that go on, that's hard press. And so what I look at is, how do we relocate? And that's what I talked about initially. How do we bring that loss from our headspace down to our heart? And I've concluded in the research that I've done that there are four major ways that people grieve. The first way is physiologically. We internalize grief. People will find themselves, and these are some of the quote unquote symptoms of grief, but you have more aches. Your sleep will be disrupted. You'll be increased sleep, decreased sleep. Appetite can be all screwed up from increased appetite, decreased appetite, heartburn. Bowel issues, you name it, headaches, that can be grief. You know, if you've had a loss and you internalize that, that's our body reacting to that loss. The second way that I have found that we grieve is cognitive grief. And our brain actually grieves. We have the right and left hemisphere, but in the middle, we have a tissue called the corpus callosum. And we have found that every second of the day, we have about 200 synapses fire back and forth. But when we have a loss or death, that middle area actually becomes all cloudy. And those synapses don't fire like they normally do. So basically, our concentration sucks. What did I do with my car keys? What did I do with my phone? I'm at the grocery store. What was I supposed to pick up? So we got to give ourselves a little patience and a little grace that way too, because that's our brain kind of shorting out and grieving. And that can last for a period of time. I mean, there's not a set time frame on this stuff. But just something for people to be aware of. On a sidebar of it, I think God has given us numbness to survive. We have a loss. For example, if we have a death of a spouse or a child, we're basically going through the motions for about 4 to 6 weeks. We're just functioning. You know, typical bereavement for businesses and they're about 3 days, right? Then you're supposed to quote unquote get back to work. See, that's a joke, to be honest with you, because our grief really doesn't start until about 4 to 6 weeks after the loss. And you think about it, our concentration is still in the fire and light. So that's where I'm saying we've got to give ourselves some patience and to be just kind of cautious on decision making. There's an old analogy, don't make any major changes for a year. I kind of agree with that. But don't sell your home, don't buy a new car or whatever it is. Just be patient with things for a while. Third way we grieve that I have found, and I talked briefly at the beginning, is spiritually. We do question why. I think that's one of the biggest things I hear from my clients is why. Why? Why? Why did God do this? Why? Why did the cancer happen? Why? Why? And I honestly have come to the conclusion that it's a very human question. And when we see God, we can ask him that. Right now, we don't have the answer. And so that's the thing of in this part of spirituality, that's again where people fall away from their faith because they're angry or they get closer. It's kind of not an in between, it's kind of one to another. But in this category, I found people become more angry. They get angry at their neighbors. They get angry at other people. Kind of, I call it displaced anger. Or they get angry at themselves. They kind of beat themselves up. And I might suggest maybe you're not angry at either. Maybe what you're really angry at is you're angry that your loved one died. You're not mad at them, but you're angry that they died because you feel robbed. And when something's taken from you, you want it back. If somebody stole your purse, what's your first reaction? You want to go after them. Hey, that's mine. I want it back. So it's very primitive, but yet very personal that way. It's like, I want my loved one back. And the other kind of subcategory I talk about frequently is the word guilt. The woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, couldas. How many times do we play that in our minds? But ask yourself, how beneficial is it? Because what guilt really is, if you look at it in the subcontext of it, is a great way to beat yourself up over something you couldn't control. Think about that. You're beating yourself up over something you couldn't control. So again, that's that displaced anger. You're saying, I'm angry. I'm robbed. Baratheon. I want it back. And the last way we grieve is, the common one is emotional grief. And that's kind of a wicked roller coaster ride. Our moods are up and down, spinning all over. So what I try to help people do is to develop a different pathway in their grief process. So that's what privilege I get to.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Vandenbroek. He's the director of grief, loss, and trauma with Lutheran Family Service. And if you stick around, you'll learn more about how you can participate in a webinar series with Dr. Vandenbroek and learn more about grief and loss. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50 plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we're learning about grief and loss with Dr. Mark Vandenbroek. He's the Director of Grief, Loss, and Trauma with Lutheran Family Service. Has a series of webinars on this topic as well. Stick around and you'll learn more of the details, how you can participate in those. Dr. Vandenbroek, tell us about how your Christian worldview shapes your practice and the care of those you serve.
For me, it is imperative that the spiritual aspect is there. I have journeyed with many, many people in their grief processing, and I clearly have found that people that don't have a belief system, don't have a belief in God, really struggle, really, truly struggle in their life. And it's like, we as Christians know that they're with God. We know that at some point our souls will reconnect, correct? And that we have that peace and understanding, that love that God gave us to help us to understand this. And you look at it biblically, that the story in the Bibles talk about a lot of losses, don't they? You look at what Job experienced. You look at what David experienced. You look at all the testimonies. Even Jesus wept as Lazarus died. So you think about the context of grief and the power of, but to have the reassurance that God's going to be with us and guide us in this journey. That's what I find comfort in.
Yeah, tell us about the webinar series that you're offering with Lutheran Family Service.
This is a design just to highlight different areas that maybe people weren't aware of or are aware of. You know, you see some of the paradigm, but I address all aspects of grief and try to get that out there to our listeners. And I did one on the death of a spouse in August. The one upcoming in September is talking about the word suicide and how that kind of impacts us. I talk about death of a grandparent, a death of a pet, all these kind of losses, ambiguous loss. I'll talk about that. And you've heard me mention that term ambiguous, and maybe some people don't know what that is, but that's the best way I can define that is if somebody is struggling with dementia, and if a family member is struggling with dementia, you have the physical body of that loved one, but the mental capacity is becoming more and more limited. Or vice versa, if someone's struggling with ALS, the body's kind of shutting down, but the brain's still active. So that's kind of that ambiguous loss. So I'll do a topic of that, just some question and answers and just some pre-advice that way. So there's just a number of different aspects of losses that we look at. Death of a child, you know, how impactful that is. Miscarriage, stillbirth, those things.
What do we need to know to attend the online webinars?
Just if you're open and willing to listen and to look at it, maybe looking at possible tools to use to process that grief. I think that's one of the vantage points of doing the kind of the in-service webinar type of thing, is just pointing out that you're not alone. I really want people to know that you're not alone in this journey. And so oftentimes that's what I hear. I'm kind of grieving on my island and nobody gets what I'm going through. And I often hear people say, "Oh, I know what you're going through." I'm sorry that, no, you don't. Everyone's grief is different. And we can't just minimize that grief, so to speak. We can't just say, oh, yeah, I know what it's like to lose somebody. No, everyone's journey is different. So,
is there a website that people can join on? How do people join in on this webinar? And is there a way to view the past webinars that you mentioned?
You can look at LutheranFamilyService.org and you can tap into the webinars and in services that way. As far as past ones, I don't believe there is, but if you sign up from now, then you could be on the kind of the link for that.
LutheranFamilyService.org. When's the next one coming up?
That one is coming up Wednesday, and that's the one I'm talking about. September is Suicide Awareness Month, and so I'm kind of tapping into the aspects of the word suicide and the impact that has. And I just a sidebar on that, I try to take a different approach to that mentality, because I actually use a different word than suicide. As suicide to me is a very barbaric word. And if you look historically at it, generations struggle with complex aspect of suicide. Nobody talks about your loved one. I am very adamant about changing the language of that by using the term voluntary death. To me, it's a much more empathic way of saying, you know what, some people, individuals struggle with mental health issues. There's other circumstances that happen. I want to be cautionary about judging, and suicide is such a pinnacle aspect of people judging and putting their own opinions on things. I'm coming from the other aspect of working with the families that have experienced a loss and how damaging that suicide term continues to be layered upon layered from their children to their grandpa. Well, grandpa did this, or somebody did this. That's sad. To me, very sad. Families continue to be quote unquote punished. So
the webinar is coming up Wednesday, September 18th at 1 p.m. Central with Dr. Mark. You can find more at LutheranFamilyService.org. Tell us about the October and November webinars as well.
There are so many aspects. There'll be the death of parents. There'll be deaths of other loved ones. I'm trying, bottom line, Andy and Sarah, I'm trying to touch base on so many different aspects of grief. And that's why we went for a monthly kind of an in-service, so that people become aware that, you know, there's the death of a spouse, but we have other losses in life. And that's where I talked about the ambiguous loss and topics that way. So if you look on the website, they'll have them all listed. And if that's something you're interested, feel free to sign up. I always say to everyone that I'm an open book. I've been blessed to be able to do this for a long time. And there's no question that I really haven't heard before. There's nothing that I hope no one's embarrassed to even ask, because you're not alone. And that's what I hope to present.
Our guest today, Dr. Mark Vandenbroek, Director of Grief, Loss, and Trauma at Lutheran Family Service. Dr. Mark, thanks so much for being our guest.
Well, thank you for the invitation from both of you. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.